coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. Today we have Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel and I will be discussing the most recent school shooting. By the time you hear this, there could have been another one for all I know, but we're talking about the Parkland, Florida school shooting where 17 students were murdered. Joel has some very firm opinions about that, and he is knowledgeable. So we'll be discussing that, and as always, I promise you it will be animated, and it will be exciting, entertaining, and educational. But first, what's been going on in the Coriel family? Well, we just got back from a funeral. I think I told you last week that my wife's grandmother, Ethel, had died, so we had to go to southwest Kansas, Scott City, Kansas. It is about an 18-hour drive, and I tell you, well, actually, if you MapQuest it, I think it's only about 16 hours, but you have to add a half hour for every kid, and then add a half hour for your wife, so it comes to about 18 hours, provided you have good weather. So we just got back from Kansas, and I can honestly say, Toto, I don't think I'm in Kansas anymore. I'm sorry, I had to say that. But we had a great time down there. I love Kansas. Rural Kansas is just an awesome place. People are so down to earth. They're a lot like me, so I really get along, you know, with these Kansas wheat farmers. I am determined to get back into shape this year. So before I left for Kansas, I ordered a brand new treadmill. It's not the best on the market. I think it's a $700-$800 treadmill, but I think it'll do the job. It just has to be able to support, you know, a fat, aging old man who's trying to get back into shape. So I probably won't be that rough on it. I am determined. I'm going to use that treadmill every single day. I can't guarantee I'll hit any top speeds or break any NASCAR records, but I'll do the best I can with what I got. Folks, we've got a lot of stuff here today, so I'm not going to belabor my personal life here. I have been chomping at the bit to do the show. Usually I do the show on Friday. I've been thinking a lot about this mass shooter stuff. It's just the school shootings. It's just been driving me crazy. The more this idiocy happens, the more sugar intake I get, the more junk food I have. You know, Mountain Dew, Frappuccino, Doritos, M&Ms. You know, it's terrible. But I've been driven to junk food in despair. I listen to everything out there on the news, and it just drives me crazy. So before we get into the heavy stuff, let's start out with something light. And what does Skip Coriel view as something light? FoxNews.com. Chevy Chase gets into roadside fight with young drivers who had to look up who he was. Now, that just blows me away, but, I mean, who doesn't know who Chevy Chase is? But check it out here. A Long Island man, oh, he's from New York, that explains it. A Long Island man said he kicked Chevy Chase in self-defense on an upstate highway when the unhinged actor lunged at him and warned, "I am going to ruin your lives." Michael Landrio, 22, a UPS worker from East Patchogue, told the Post that he and his girlfriend and another couple were headed north to go snowmobiling February 9 when a blue Mercedes flashed its lights at them and pulled next to them at the Governor Mario M. Cuomo Bridge. Quote, "We were in the right lane, and as we came up to the bridge, we went to the middle lane," he said, in his parents' home in Suffolk County. "It was an old guy." I bet that's got to make Chevy Chase feel good. "It was an old guy yelling, something we couldn't hear, super pissed off. We just tried to get the heck away from him. He followed us the whole length of the bridge, driving crazy. That reminds me of, what was that, Family Vacation? Oh, gosh. In Christmas Vacation, he gets in these road rage incidents. Apparently, you know, art, you know, imitates life, or life imitates art, one of the two. My friend opened his window and just said, "I apologize, we were just trying to go upstate." Adding that the Mercedes blocked their vehicle. Boy, just like the movie. He said, "You know who the F I am?" Landrio said, Chase screamed. Then he started cursing at me for no reason and said, "I am going to ruin your lives." I said, "F you." Okay, well, that'll de-escalate things, won't it? Then he yanks open their car door and yells, "I'm going to punch you in the nose." And he came after me and had his hands in my face, he continued. I said, "Get the F away from me." Landrio said Chase, who at this point was inside Landrio's car attacking him, threw a punch that missed. Landrio said he then kicked the out-of-control Chase, sending him flying out of the car, into his Mercedes, and onto the ground. I closed my car door and locked it, but he was still trying to get in at me when a nurse and an off-duty cop escorted him away. This is funny. I didn't know who he was. I was just trying to defend myself. He was physically trying to harm me, he said, adding that the cop told him his attacker was none other than Chevy Chase of Saturday Night Live and Caddyshack fame. I looked him up on Google, and I still didn't know who he was. He said, "He didn't look like he looked when he made his movies." Well, my dear young 22-year-old man in your prime, when you're 74 years old, you're not going to look the same either. Oh, boy. A few notes about this, folks. In road rage, the last thing you want to do is pull over and try to talk to the person who is out of control. Call the police. You know, if you have a passenger, let them videotape what's going on. And just try to get away. You don't have to speed. I mean, this has happened to me before, too. You just remain calm. Don't pull over. Don't stop. Don't play into their hands. This person could be Charles Manson's demon, for all you know. Just stay away from them. Don't engage them. De-escalate at every turn. All right, well, that's the light stuff that we have today. What else do we have here? Oh, this is from local10.com. Here is what you need to know about armed deputy who failed to act during school shooting. Obviously, they're talking about Deputy Scott Peterson. Scott Peterson stood outside for 4 minutes during the shooting, sheriff says. And that just amazes me. As gunfire erupted within Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, the armed deputy who was tasked with protecting the children of the Parkland community is accused of taking cover to protect himself instead of doing what he had been paid and trained to do. He's more than accused of it. He's on videotape hiding behind a concrete wall. When faced with the realization Thursday that he was going to be suspended without pay, Sheriff Scott Israel allowed Broward Sheriff's Office Deputy Scott Peterson to resign/retire, which would make him eligible for whatever benefits and pay he might be entitled to receive. I'm not sure he should get those. While Nicholas Badman, mass murderer, used an AR-15-style semi-automatic rifle to kill 17 people, Peterson was armed and in uniform. Sheriff Israel said he was seen taking up a position outside of the west side of Building 12 during the massacre, and he never went in. According to a Coral Springs police officer, Peterson hid behind a concrete column near the stairs. Israel said crews began shooting at 2:21 p.m. and exited the building about 2:27 p.m. Peterson, who towers, well, this deputy sheriff, towers over 6 feet tall, was outside the building for 4 minutes, according to Israel. His actions appeared to contradict what his superiors expected of him. No kidding. For any police who are listening, we don't expect you to cower outside while our children are being murdered. We expect you to go do something about that. I understand that the Supreme Court has ruled that you're under no legal obligation to protect us, but you damn well better get the hell off from behind that concrete bunker and get your freaking ass inside and kill the bad guy. I'm getting emotional. Let me relax. They were also inconsistent with his most recent employee evaluation, stating that he took pride in protecting the students, faculty, and staff, and was dependable and reliable. Right. I'm sorry. The evaluation was not correct. You know, part of the problem here is none of us really know how we're going to respond when our life is in danger. Some of us rise to the occasion, and we go in with fangs bared, and we take out the trash. Others wet our pants and cower underneath a desk or a chair and wait to be slaughtered. Apparently, this man was fine. This deputy was fine when he was dealing with non-life-threatening issues, but when it came to actually putting himself in danger to protect children, he wasn't up to it. And this guy was 54 years old. I just can't. I'm sorry, folks. It's blowing me away. I am so angry at the cop. I mean, I expect the deranged madman who is demon-possessed, I expect him to go in there and shoot and kill innocent people. I don't expect the deputy sheriff to hide behind a stone wall until it's safe to come out. That's unacceptable to me. I cannot wrap my head around that. The 54-year-old veteran had been working at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School since 2009. So he's been there for 8 years. Sheriff Israel said that he retired from his position as school resource officer Thursday after learning from Lieutenant Barry Lindquist that he was under investigation. He received numerous awards during his tenure. In 2013, Parkland officials named him Parkland Employee of the Year. You know, I'm guessing he's not going to get that in 2018. I mean, I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm guessing he's not going to get it in 2018. The department recognized Peterson as School Resource Officer of the Year for proving to be reliable in handling issues with tact and judgment in 2014. Well, his judgment in this case was to hide and wait till all the children were dead. Brother. Records show his base pay was over $100,000 a year? $100,000? To hide behind a stone wall? You know, just my opinion. I know I'm getting excited here, but I tell you, folks, this man is a coward. He's unconscionable. He waited behind a cement wall, knowing that his job was to run towards the gunshots. He stood there, behind the wall, listening to the gunshots, knowing that every gunshot is a dead child. Oh! You know, it's one thing for the high schoolers to do that. I don't understand that either. I don't understand why kids hide down underneath their desk and wait to be systematically slaughtered. This happened in Sutherland Springs, too. It happens over and over and over again. Folks, pull your head out of your rectums. Do not wait to be slaughtered. But this cop, I'm sorry, he is not representative of the law enforcement community. And I'm sure there are a lot of police officers that are just as mad at this guy as I am, because he's making them all look bad. He had his moment. He could have been the hero. He could have saved lives. Instead, he saved his own cowardly yellow ass. Well, I think I need to take a break here. I'm going to have to stay away from the caffeine today, but I'll have a few M&Ms anyways. Chocolate. Chocolate is what I need right now. All right, folks. We got a 2-minute break. While I'm away, go ahead and check out firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical. Get yourself protected legally. And then go out to elitefirearms.us and learn about Larry Jackson and all he can do for your family to help protect them. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. And I will try to stay calm. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. I am speaking now with one of my favorite firearms instructors, Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel Fulton, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Skip, it's great to be back on with you.
All right. Yeah, it's been a few weeks. I like to have you on once a month simply because, you know everything about everything except for the things that you don't know, but even those you have an opinion on. Are you speechless?
Oh, I was waiting for you to say something else and like give me an out there. I'm like, yeah. I mean, like, geez.
No. Well, actually,
sometimes people say, hey, I mean, my head's already big enough to, you know, it's hard enough to turn sideways to fit through the door sometimes.
Well, Joel, you know, in the news lately, you know, it's been saturated, you know, 24/7 with school shooting stories, information, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I know you're very well informed on the news, especially, you know, gun-related, firearms-related stuff, and you're opinionated. And so, you know, I wanted to talk to you today about this latest school shooting down in Parkland, Florida. Just go ahead. I'm going to let you ramble here for a little while, and I'll interject questions as you go.
Sure. First of all, let's just establish that whether you're pro-gun, whether you're anti-gun, whether you think there's no place for modern sporting rifles in today's society, or whether you think that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, we all agree on the same goals, and the same goal is we need to keep kids safe. The problem is that we've created situations where our kids are left pretty much defenseless. We established gun-free school zones back in 1994. We have all these massive school shootings, starting with Columbine in 1998. Well, you left the schools defenseless.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have a big problem going, hey, look, we need to control whether or not there's a lot of arms there or any arms there. I'm not saying that arming teachers or having armed guards there is the be-all and end-all. Certainly, I don't have a problem with that being there as a absolute last line of defense if something happens and we need to stop the carnage. Because, look, if there's a bad guy there with a gun, as Wayne LaPierre said, we're going to call a good guy with a gun.
Right.
There's no question about it. We're calling the police and praying they get there fast enough to save lives. And even if they do, sometimes they don't rise to the occasion. Sometimes the courage just simply is not there. I feel bad for the guy that was the school liaison officer, and I say it, feel bad for him in this regard. He had his moment, and he wasn't able to rise to that occasion. He, for whatever reason, decided to wait for backup instead of directly addressing the shooter. And perhaps it's because he got lackadaisical, and because he was a school liaison officer, he didn't wear his vest anymore. You know, if I've got a vest on, it's going to give me a little more courage to be able to go and face somebody, knowing that if I take a round or two, I'll probably go and survive it. So perhaps he didn't have the right equipment available to him, or he neglected to wear it that day. Perhaps, you know, whatever reason he may have had, the fact of the matter is he's going to live with that guilt for the rest of his life if he can live with it.
Yeah.
He's going to be damaged beyond belief. So I feel bad in that regard. I also feel bad that we didn't directly address the shooter and we have 17 dead Plus, we should have had layers of security. There are so many layers of security that I can apply to a school, just like I would apply to a jewelry store or any other valuable retail store to keep people from getting in. We do it in the firearms industry all the time. I have multiple layers of security. I don't let you drive through the side of my building because I put up barriers. I put up pylons and posts. I make sure that you can't break through my windows because I either have them chained shut or plastic window treatments. If I want to be inobtrusive so it doesn't look like I've got my kids in a prison, window sheeting, just like I do in between a windshield on a car to make it shatterproof, same kind of thing on ground floor windows so that nobody can shoot through them, shatter through them, and get into the school through an unauthorized entrance. I make sure that all of my doors are locked at all times. When I do have entrances, it's controlled entry, and only the people that are supposed to get in can. I make sure that I have procedures in place. Perhaps we're going to have to get some systems in our schools where it determines if there's a fire alarm pulled, we send somebody there to determine whether or not there's a fire before we announce there is actually indeed a fire. We do need you to exit the building at this time. Because he used that protocol against our students. He pulled a fire alarm knowing everybody would file out into the hallways.
Yeah.
He used protocols against you. So, and when we train our students, we have to recognize that the enemy is from within. They're going to know the procedures and the protocols. So we have to try and safeguard against that. Look, there's some things that we can do to identify. First, we try to deter, but we also need to identify. Where are these problem kids at? In this case, it was actually done. 39 visits in 5 years by law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And somewhere we didn't run the red flag up somewhere. Somebody notified the FBI, and it wasn't enough of a crisis yet. How much do we have to do before we say, see something, say something? People are seeing something, they're saying something, and nothing gets done about it. Eventually, people quit crying wolf about it. They go, okay, everybody else is ignoring it, so am I. What is it that we could have done? Could somebody have befriended this kid? You know, what is it that makes one of my classmates want to suddenly shoot me? What have I done to one of my classmates that would drive them to that level of anger? There's just so many variables and so many things that can be done differently. Don't ostracize. Be friendly. And I know that's hard. You know, when I was a kid, I got picked on unmercifully in school. But at the same time, I didn't think about going and killing anybody either.
Yeah. It was a different time. Different time. Kids were different back then. I remember that. I mean, you know, I was not the most popular kid in school. That's probably hard for you to believe, but it's true.
It's hard for me to imagine.
I know, but I wasn't, and I got picked on a little bit. But, you know, even bullies back then, they were dealt with either by the students or by the teachers. It wasn't acceptable. You know, but all of this stuff, you know, basically I think what happened is it was like a perfect storm. You know, anything that could go wrong went wrong. You know, the person that was supposed to protect them for whatever reason, and I gotta be honest with you, it sounds like he just didn't want to go in there and risk his own life. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but he stood out there for 4 minutes knowing that kids were being slaughtered inside. It sounds to me like this guy was a coward. He's going to be living with that for the rest of his life.
You hesitate? I mean, 4 minutes, it's a long time.
Yeah.
Did you freeze? Did you not have a plan? You know, you're a school liaison officer for 7 years, and we all, I think it was since 2010, they said he was a school liaison officer. But let me ask you this question. Did the Marines ever send you into a battle or send you into a situation that they hadn't trained or prepared you for yet?
No. No, not really.
They had prepared you. You had trained, you'd practiced, you'd done a lot of, you know, fighting and mock combat before you went there, so you knew what you were doing, right?
Well, they sent me to Battle Creek. I mean, that's a war zone.
I get it, but, you know, and right now I'm over on the Detroit side of state. I'm over in Taylor, Michigan, actually. I'm at Top Gun doing a United States Concealed Carry Association instructor class, some fantastic instructors over here. But I tell you what, I can't say enough good about them. It's been great working with these guys for the last couple of days. I'm not really training them to be instructors so much as I am teaching them some new material. They're already NRA instructors, and I'll tell you what, I love to see good things going on in other areas of the state because it gives me confidence that we've got some consistency in training across the state, and these guys are definitely doing their part to uphold that training.
Yeah.
But getting back to what I was talking about, this guy's a school liaison officer, and I bet he had lots of training on how to interact with the kids, how to be a mentor, how to do a lot of different things. But did he ever have any training on how to go into a school system, what he was going to use for cover, what he wasn't going to use for cover, how he was going to tactically get through the building and seek the shooter right away and go to his location? Did they ever train for that? And if they're not training for that, then I'm going to tell you that's probably why he froze. There was no training. There was no roadmap. There was no plan on what to do. We have to have a plan. There has to be an emergency response plan. It has to be practiced, and people need to know what to do, all the way from students to teachers to administrators to our school liaison officer. And I'm betting he never had any training on that. I'm betting they didn't go through that scenario and practice it. And because of that, in that moment, he froze.
You know, Joel, I'm not going to make that assumption. I'm not going to assume that he was a coward either, because we just flat out really don't know yet. I mean, he's not talking to anyone. He's not giving any interviews. He's resigned, you know, in disgrace, all of those things. But what I can't wrap my head around is I can't imagine, you know, 18, 19 years after Columbine, not having the training by someplace like this was Broward County. I can't imagine them not having adequate training in place for active shooter scenario for their school resource officers. How could that even happen?
Well, you know, I'm going to bet that a lot of that happens and that very little is being done in our police circles. Because think about it this way. What is the actual likelihood, percentage-wise, given the number of schools that we have in this entire nation, that a major mass school shooting is going to happen at your school? The percentage is probably fairly low. So how much resources do you dedicate to that, to train for that? I'm going to say it's worthwhile. We should do it. I believe we should do it. You believe we should do it. Most parents would readily agree that we should do it. But it's probably one of the least likely scenarios that they're going to train for. They train for traffic stops. They train for drug interdiction. They train for domestic violence situations. They train for the situations that they encounter on a daily basis.
Well, I agree with you, and I understand that. The problem is, if that unlikely scenario occurs, you end up with dead bodies all over the place, and that's what makes it so important that they train for this. But, you know, I imagine we will find
out
later on, you know, a week from now, we'll probably find out what Broward County has in the way of active shooter interdiction and training and things like that. Until then, we can just guess. But, Joel, we're about out of time for this segment. When we come back, let's talk about gun control. I think you'll probably have an opinion on that. So when we come back, Joel, we'll be talking about that.
Probably.
Yes, right. We have a two-minute break here. While I'm away, go ahead and check out firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. See how Firearms Legal Protection can help you protect your family against the criminal justice system. And then also go to elitefirearms.us and find out how to get the right firearm for you and your family. Okay, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Phoenix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks. I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, this is Skip Correll on the Home Defense Show. Welcome back. We are speaking with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel, you know, the mainstream media, the far left, they are crying for all kinds of things. They want to ban AR-15s. They want to raise the age that people can purchase firearms. They want to do whatever they can and not let this opportunity go to waste. Just what do you think? You know, should we ban firearms or AR-15s? Should we raise the legal purchasing age to 21? What is your opinion?
Well, the truth of the matter is are we identifying the problem, or are we trying to treat symptoms? If all we're trying to do is treat symptoms, then we're not identifying the real problem, and we're not addressing the real root problem. It's not about the firearm. It's not about what they had access to or could get. Look, we've been fighting to fix NICS since just after 2012. The National Shooting Sports Foundation, in conjunction with the National Rifle Association, has been fighting. We've gotten almost 20 states at the state level to pass fix NICS legislation. So NICS, National Instant Check System, NICS, is the system by which all commercial firearms dealers have to do a check in order to sell that particular firearm to a particular individual. We got to get permission to sell it to them. They have to pass a name-based criminal background check at the federal level every single time we sell a gun, or have a document that exempts them from that check because they've had a better check that's fingerprint-based, such as a Michigan concealed pistol license. So unless they have one of those, they don't get a gun. Well, the problem is that states and court systems haven't got the requisite resources, or they ignore it, and they don't send up the information that they should be sending to the NICS system so that those prohibited persons are there in the first place. I believe that's what we're talking about. We're talking about government systems that are already failing us because they aren't good enough. Okay? So there's no reason why we have it in place if we're not going to make it as good as it can be. Now, there's some that argue that, oh, I shouldn't have to go through that in the first place, and the purists and that kind of stuff. And I go, you know what? Okay, I get it. But the fact of the matter is it does prevent people from legally obtaining them. Now, just because I prevented somebody from legally obtaining them doesn't stop them from walking down the street to the local drug house and for $50 getting a gun anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's not the AR-15. It's not the rate of fire. I can do just as much damage. If you look at every single mass shooting we've ever had, the rate of fire and the number of people killed per minute isn't much more than one or two on average in the 8 or 9 minutes that it takes police on average to show up to the scene. So it's not about the rate of fire. It's not about how many magazine changes they have to make. It's not about that. It's about being able to fire and have defenseless victims that can't stop anything. And it's about teaching mentality and attitude. When people resist, when people lock doors, when people make it so that there's barriers so that the gunman can't get to them, he gets frustrated. He doesn't have time. He knows he's on a limited time frame, and he wants to get as many victims as possible. So lock doors, barriers, fighting back, victim response makes a difference in how effective the shooter or how effective the killer is. So by doing these things and by understanding the psychology that goes into this and the things that we can do to lessen this, then we can start to stop the killers. They're after a body count. They're angry. They want to lash out. They've been failures and losers their entire lives. They're not afraid to die. Most of them kill themselves afterward. What they are afraid is the universal fear of failure. So we have to make it so that when we harden our targets, when we make these soft targets, these easy targets harder to get to, what we're doing is we're deterring them. We're making sure that they can't be successful, that we assure their failure. And if they're going to fail, they won't try in the first place. Nobody plays a game they can't win.
So, Joel, what can we do to ensure that they believe they will fail so they won't try in the first place?
Oh, there's a school in Indiana that spent like $500,000 on their building. They had fog machines to disorient a shooter or a killer if he was in the hallway. They had automatic locking doors. They had systems where from the office you could automatically lock all interior classroom doors. Quite frankly, all interior classroom doors should be automatically locked. You can't get in during the school hour. The only time the door opens is when you're transferring classes. During the school hour, there's no reason for anybody to be coming in and out. The doors should be locked, period. The plastic window treatments on windows, metal detectors at the door for when kids are coming in and out of school for the day. We already do metal detectors. Metal detectors are on Battle Creek Public Schools downtown. Look, kids are not going to look at that and go, oh my goodness, I'm in a prison, and be terrified. They're going to have a sense of security at this point. They need to feel secure. There's kids that are scared to go to school right now.
Yeah.
And we need to aid in their safety and their security. So we need to give them these things so that they can start to feel secure, so that they can learn again. The ultimate goal is I need them to learn while they're at school, not be terrified as to whether or not their classmate's going to shoot them.
Yeah. What about arming the teachers? What do you think?
Sure. As a last resort, I don't have a problem doing that. I'm saying there's a lot of things that I can do even without arming teachers and publicize it. That's probably going to deter the shooter so that the teacher never has to use the firearm in the first place. The firearm is always a tool of last resort. I am not opposed to that last line of defense. But look, if you as a school board or you as a community member or whatever else are opposed to that, at least do the other things first. Get those things done and do them immediately. Put those things in place and get your kids some layers of security and some layers of safety. I'm all for the trained teachers in schools. I know a lot of sheriffs are doing it around the nation. Butler County down in Ohio, there's another sheriff that's starting to arm teachers out in Texas. Look, I don't have a problem with that. But do the other layers first as well, in conjunction. We all do multiple layers of security. You don't teach somebody to just use a gun to protect themselves. You teach them awareness and avoidance. So let's focus on some of this awareness and avoidance stuff that I can do inside my schools as well.
Well, with kids, with teenagers, they're not the same as adults. You and I, we train primarily adults. You know, they're emotionally fully developed. Their brain is fully developed. They use the rational part of their brain as opposed to the emotional part of their brain. So it's a little bit different. But, you know, maybe I'm remembering incorrectly. It's been a long time since I was a teenager. But I don't remember being raised to be such... what's the technical term for it? Wimp, that if someone started attacking and killing people, that I would cower under my desk and wait for someone to come and kill me. How do you teach kids to fight back?
Well, that starts with your insurance companies. I'm going to tell you, for at least my recent memory, so since I was work age, 16 years old, and that unfortunately is now 30 years ago, I was taught that if somebody came in and wanted to rob the place, give them the money. Give them whatever they asked for. Put a bag of fries and, you know, ask them if they'd like fries with that. Mm-hmm. When I was working at McDonald's. I was told that. You don't fight back. And insurance companies have been teaching retail stores that for years. And when you get inundated with that as a teenager, that you don't fight back, suddenly we're being taught, don't fight back. Give them whatever they want.
Yeah.
If you give them what they want, they'll go away. Well, that's unfortunately not the case. What they want is your dead body.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving them that. So the paradigm has changed. The paradigm changed on 9/11/2001. And
yeah.
Two planes crashed into a tower, and a third one said, we're not going down like that. We may go down, but we're not going down like that. Time to fight back.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, I teach my kids. I've got an 11-year-old, 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old, and I'm raising them differently. These are totally different times. You know, we talk about sheeps and sheepdogs and wolves and all that stuff in our classes, and Dave Grossman and all of that stuff. And, you know, I always say there's nothing wrong with being a sheep until you meet the wolf. And then it's a really bad day, you know, to be a sheep. There's so many things that we have to do. Joel, give us a summary step by step. If you could say,
all right, I'm in charge of this school. What am I going to do to this school to make it safe? What would you do?
Just any school that I'm going to
You're the boss. You are God in this school. How are you going to make it safe?
I want plastic window treatments on all ground floor level windows. I want automatic locking doors to be able to be controlled from the office. I want locking doors that the teacher can control in and out. I want, so if centralized, if there's an emergency, then I can automatically lock all doors from the office, give an announcement, and have people get behind lines drawn so that they can't be seen from the windows in the doors to the classroom, so they know where to stand so the shooter can't shoot through a door and get to them. I want some kind of controlled entry system. So the exterior doors, unless it's where students are coming in the morning, those are locked as well at all times, and they have to communicate with the office in order to be allowed in. I want metal detectors. I want all those layers. And quite frankly, I'd have an armed school liaison officer or armed security guard, and if teachers wanted to be armed or if I had, you know, veterans that said, hey, look, you know, I'm willing to do janitorial services, but I get to carry a gun. I'm all for that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right on with that, Joel. I mean, concentric rings of security going from the center all the way out into the parking lot. You know, we do that with church safety training. We set up concentric rings
cameras
of security.
I want to be able to identify where he's at. I want camera access. You've got key fobs that officers can use to get into locked doors when they need to respond to a scene, so every officer can have a key fob that accesses that school. You have camera systems that remotely can be seen by emergency dispatch. They can tap into that. There's so many things that can be done.
All right. What about the gun control? Because if you listen to the news, if we would just ban all guns, we would never have another school shooting.
Whatever firearm you ban today, they're just going to go to the next one that's not banned. And then you're going to want to ban that one. And then we'll go to the next one. At some point, we're defenseless. The whole point of that Second Amendment is that we have firearms there to repel foreign invasion, and we have firearms there to stop a tyrannical government.
All right, we got like 2 minutes left.
It doesn't get compromised. I can't trade security, a false sense of security, for my freedom. That's non-negotiable.
Senate Bill 584. That is stalled in the state Senate right now. What's the, you know, and that would allow concealed carry holders, you know, to get an extra 8 hours of training and carry in places like schools. Any possibility of that being passed in the wake of this latest school shooting?
Look, there's some things in that trade off a lot of open carry, and it trades off a lot of rights that I'm not sure I'm willing to trade off just for being able to carry concealed into schools. Quite frankly, the governor's already signaled he's not willing to sign that anyway. The current governor, in my opinion, is hoplophobe. He is terrified of weapons unless, of course, you know, it's his 24-hour, seven-day-a-week security detail. Then he's okay with it. But he's not okay with it for common citizens, so I don't have a lot of stomach for this particular governor in that regard. So I'm not optimistic that will ever go anywhere anyway, because, quite frankly, the governor's just not willing to sign.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think the last time he vetoed a similar bill, I went on record as calling him a sheep, and that didn't go over very well either. But I think you're right, Joel. You know, we can protect our airliners. You know, look at all the money we spent on the TSA, and we're saying we're not going to spend even a fraction of that to protect our children. What we're making them go to school, but we're not going to keep them safe.
We don't spend a fraction of the money on security and building security in our school buildings as we do on our football fields.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Put that in perspective.
That's right. Well, Joel, hey, it's been great talking to you again. We'll certainly have you on some more. I know you need to get back to your class now. But Joel, before you go, tell us, how can people get a hold of Freedom Firearms?
They can always get a hold of us online at www.freedomfirearms.biz. They can contact the store at 269-968-4CCW. That's 968-4229. And they can always stop in and see us in Battle Creek at 539 Capitol Avenue Southwest. Just look for the great big huge gun mailbox out front.
All right. Joel, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show. We'll let you get back to your class now. Okay, folks, 2-minute break. When we come back, we're going to give you the wrap-up, and I'll tell you what I really think. All right, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. Take us there, man.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, when a stern request to go away didn't dissuade a Texas woman from breaking into a neighbor's home, the homeowner shot and killed the burglar. Montgomery County law enforcement officials are investigating. Early indications stated the defensive shooting was justified. Quote, she actually opened the screen door and started coming in the back door, Justice of the Peace Wayne Mack told a reporter. The homeowner advised her not to come in the house and feared for her life. The suspect was shot in the abdomen and was pronounced dead at arrival at an area hospital. The armed citizen was not injured during the incident.
Thanks, Colonel. This story gives us an excellent opportunity to discuss the ins and outs of issuing a challenge command. Even if you don't know exactly what they are, you've seen and heard them being issued by Hollywood actors in the movies. The problem is, there's a big difference between Hollyworld and the real world that you and I live in. In Hollywood, the challenge command might go something like this. Hey, you dirty, rotten scumbag, I want you to lay down that gun and kick it over to me real slow-like. Well, that works fine in the movies because the guns aren't real and everyone is getting paid to stay on script. But in the real world, there is no script and the bad guy has a mind of his own. Here are some general guidelines to follow when issuing a challenge command in a potential life or death scenario. 1. Only issue a challenge command when you are safely behind cover. Never give the bad guy the first shot. Move behind something that will stop a bullet and then issue commands. 2. Issue your commands from the diaphragm and not your throat. Express them as loudly and confidently as possible. Yells issued from your throat will strain your vocal cords and sound like Mickey Mouse, and no one is afraid of Mickey. 3. Never use profanity in challenge commands. The purpose of the command is to take charge and de-escalate the threat.
Profanity has a way of making your attacker angry, which can escalate into more violence. And 4, keep it short and sweet and very simple. If you try to get fancy while your heart rate is at 200 beats per minute, you just might screw it up. A simple stop or I'll shoot will suffice. All in all, this lady did great, and Front Lines of Freedom gives her a hearty military salute. All in all, this lady did great, and Front Lines of Freedom gives her a hearty military salute and a job well done.
Wow, she did a great job.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. You know, I love that Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Man, that guy, I mean, he could talk the trunk off an elephant. You know, he could charm a puppy away from its mother. It's just fantastic the way he talks. Very learned, very well-read, articulate. I mean, ugly as hell, but, you know, who's got everything? I should talk. I have the face for radio. But hey, he's a good friend, and he really knows what he's talking about. So when Joel talks, you know, it's like E.F. Hutton. I listen. Now, there's so much to say about this Parkland School massacre. You know, I wrote something down. You know, it helps me to organize my thoughts. I'm definitely a much better writer than I am a speaker. So I told you in segment 4, I'm going to tell you what I really think. And, Katie bar the door, this is what I really think. Oh boy, this is a mess. Such a mess. I have so much to say about this, so I best just launch into it, speak my mind, and let the chips fall where they may. Right now, I'm pretty mad. I'm angry at a lot of people, so let me go down the list. First, I'm mad at the crazy school killer that massacred 17 high school kids. These kids will never graduate. They'll never be hugged by their moms. They'll never get the benefit of having those father-son or father-daughter talks they'd otherwise get. They'll miss the prom. They'll be absent their own weddings. Their children will never be born. They will never know the thrill of being a grandparent. Their lives are gone, snuffed out, just before their prime by a madman who heard the voices of a demon ordering him to kill. The murderer bears prime responsibility. He should be tried and, if found guilty, killed by the state of Florida. But I doubt that will happen. 10 years from now, he'll probably be in a psych ward, hopped up on meds, or maybe even out on parole. But what he really needs is the eternal dirt nap. And quite frankly, this man deserves death by 1,000 paper cuts, aggravated by pickle juice. Death is too good for this man. Second, I'm mad at Deputy Sheriff Scott Peterson. He was the man trained and tasked with the job of protecting these kids. He had the tools, he had the training, but apparently there was one tool he lacked, and that was courage. He cowered behind a concrete wall, listening in terror and fear as 17 kids were gunned down on his watch. The man has retired and will now grow fat on a public pension while the parents and siblings and the victims forever weep and mourn over the loss of the ones they love. This so-called deputy does not deserve a pension. It should be stripped from him immediately. He deserves to be thrown into prison, surrounded by pictures of all the kids he failed to protect for the rest of his natural life. And the longer he lives, the better. I'm probably madder at the deputy than I am the lunatic. The lunatic was driven by demons, but Deputy Peterson was controlled by his own cowardice. Third, I'm mad at politicians. They are not at fault for these murders, but they are the ones tasked with creating laws that protect the most innocent and helpless among us. And when I say politicians, I'm not talking about just Democrats. These days, the Republicans are just as guilty. They are in control and they do nothing. They mandate that kids go to school. Then they do nothing as the children are slaughtered. They claim there isn't the money to do anything or, here's their favorite, they can't get bipartisan support. Just give us more power, they say, and we'll be able to afford to protect our kids. We gave you the House. We gave you the Senate. We gave you the presidency. What the hell more do you want? If I give you my left nut, will that help? Do you want my wife? How about human sacrifice? Is that what you need before you can do your job? It's time for Democrats and Republicans to both learn how to compromise with each other. No one gets everything they want. I don't, so why should you? the Republicans are probably not going to get the Democrats to go along with arming teachers. That's a given. And the Democrats had damn well better not start banning firearms. If that happens, they'll be held to pay at every conceivable level. But you can allocate some money to turn our schools from soft targets into hard targets. Put in metal detectors, armed guards and police, ballistic doors and windows, automatic locks on doors. There's a lot that schools can do if they only had the money. And the school administrators, you aren't blameless either. You can spend $500,000 on a football stadium, but you can't hire a security guard for $40,000 a year? That's bullshit. Folks, this is not a brave new world that we live in. This is a cowardly, selfish new world, and it has to change. We have to start working together and implement the things we can agree on. After all, none of us want the kids to suffer and die. Problem is, some of us are willing to use the kids as pawns to get that gun control bill passed or to get concealed carry allowed in schools. Neither of those is going to happen anytime soon, so just shut the hell up and do your job. I would love to get armed teachers in school. I would love to be able to carry my concealed pistol in a school and start protecting these kids, but that's not going to happen, at least not on a national scale. If the left tries to ban and confiscate firearms, then civil war will break out. I promise you that. On the other hand, if the right overplays its hand and tries to get guns in schools, then Democrats will fight them tooth and nail. And Donald Trump is not going to fix this. He doesn't have the power. And fourth, I'm mad at kids and the parents who raised them. Who told kids they have the right to flower and blossom and that no one would ever try to hurt them or that they'd never have to fight for their lives? Who? Tell me who. Because they should be thrown into prison and never heard from again. Kids, when someone tries to hurt you, then stand up, charge forward, take away that gun, and shove it up their ass. Are you telling me these tough wrestlers or football players couldn't have charged this guy and disarmed him? My God, they can take on a 250-pound lineman and knock him on his butt, and they can't get one skinny little active shooter? That's ridiculous. Bottom line is, you could have done something. You could have stopped the shooter, but you didn't. Parents, take off the kid gloves and teach your kids they have the right to pursuit of happiness, but that it won't be handed to them on a silver platter. Sometimes you have to fight for your rights, even the right to live. When throughout human history has it ever not been so? Evil exists. Evil wants to kill good. Someday evil will visit at a time and place of its own choosing. When it does, you'd better be ready to man up and kick some ass. Rip off that table leg and plant it in the killer boy's skull. Pick up the fire extinguisher and bash in his head from behind. Take that sharpened pencil and drive it into his eye socket and through his brain. Only then will he stop shooting, and only then will you live. Over the past 70 years, America has been transformed from the greatest generation, the ones who defeated Nazi Germany and the Japanese, into the greatest sissy generation. It's time to stop. It's time to stand up. It's time to take names and kick ass. And those are my comments. Folks, I was reading an article about Coach Aaron Fleiss. He was from the school down there in Parkland, Florida. And when the shooter came, the coach used his body to shield some of the students, and he took the bullets that were meant for them. He had the right attitude. He was selfless. He was brave. But he didn't have the training and the tools for that job. That's what got him killed. He had the protector attitude, but he needed to have the warrior attitude. There's a big difference. If he'd had some support, if he'd had some training, if he'd had the right tool, he wouldn't have had to use his body as a shield. Because you know what? The human body does not make a very good shield. All it does is stop bullets. And Aaron Fleiss died. It was not necessary. I wish I could have had 30 seconds to talk to him before that happened. In 30 seconds, I could have given him the skills and the plan to take out that shooter without loss to his own life. And that's the problem, folks. These children are dying because the people in charge
don't have the proper attitude, they don't have the skills, and they don't have a plan. The people in charge are clueless. All they can do is scream, "Take away the guns, take away the guns." That's the easy way out. And it doesn't work. This is going to be a long road for everybody. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. There will be more school shootings, more church shootings, more business shootings. There will be more. It's a complicated problem. But we have to come together and we have to fix it. Short-term fix is to harden the schools. Long-term fix is to fix our society. Okay. Next week, we have a special man I'm going to interview. His name is Peter Heck. You can go on Google, do a search on Peter Heck. We are going to talk about the cultural decline in America. And it is related to home defense and school defense. How do we end up with cold-blooded killers like this? Why is our society turning them out at record numbers when 50 years ago they didn't exist? We'll talk to Peter Heck and we'll find out. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!